same holds true for you, yeah. I mean, when we are born, we are going to die. When we die, we are going to be born again, yeah. So use it, you know. If you don't want to be born again, you know, I mean, use it, yeah. to boost your practice, yeah. So, Laura, how are you doing? All right. You like this place? And I mean, the same thing holds true for you. I mean, we practice here, yeah. Practice as much as we can, yeah. I mean, 10 hours is not enough, yeah. Maybe the first week, you know, 10 hours, and then afterwards, you know, more, yeah. How many hours do you do, Pramana, Mitya, Emily?
Depends on the day.
Sometimes it's only 6 hours. Yeah. We have here, you know, I mean, it's a perfect place, you know, to practice, yeah? If we spend only 6 hours practicing, you know, we can do that at home, yeah? I was doing it on the weekends, you know, 6 to 8 hours on the weekend when I was working, yeah? So, I mean, I didn't need a place, you know, to practice, yeah? So 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours, yeah, we can practice, yeah. And the longer we practice, you know, the less, you know, we give time, you know, for the kilesas to run around. I mean, the better it is, also the next day. But of course, you know, I understand, you know, for the first 3 days, I mean, it is just pulling through, yeah. I mean, we have to pull through, yeah. I mean, 12 hours, we have to pull through, yeah. But, you know, once we get going, you know, I mean, it rolls on by itself. We are not interested in what is going on. but the first few days, you know, maybe even the first few weeks, it is difficult. But we should take the opportunity, especially, you know, when we are here, you know, to practice as much as we can, yeah? I mean, both of you were in Amravati, you know how many hours you could practice, and how many hours you worked, and then you were tired, yeah, because of working, yeah? Here you don't have to work, you don't have to cook, you don't have to prepare. The only thing is, you know, a little bit of sweeping and taking care of the dishes, yeah? I mean, that is not a lot, yeah? But one can get distracted very well, yeah? So, no talking, you know? Huh? How long did you stay in Amravati?
1 year. 1 year.
1 year. Amravati. You never went to Chittas?
2 weeks in
Chittas. Oh, 2 weeks in Chittas. And did you go to Hanum?
No.
You also stayed for Meiji, Emily. You stayed in Amravati how long?
9 months.
9 months? No. 9 months too many. Too much. I don't know how long I stayed in Amravati. Maybe a month or maybe 2 months. Most of the time I stayed in Chitta. But I don't know how it is, you know. I mean, that was 1991. Were you born then? Laura, which year were you born?
96.
96. 96. Oh, this young generation. When were you born?
81.
81. All these young people, huh? Yeah. So you have enough, you know, you have enough power, you know, yeah, to practice, yeah? Practice as much as you can. If there is nothing going on, yeah? And practice, use the time, yeah. And reflect, you know, I mean, do the daily reflection. I don't know, Laura probably doesn't know the daily reflection at the end of the day. You let everything pass by, you know, without touching, yeah? You know, you look at the thoughts when you wake up, what kind of thoughts you had, what kind of memories came up, yeah? But not touching, you know, just looking at them, yeah? What did you do, you know, what was the feelings, what were the thoughts, you know, what were the memories that coming up? It gives us a clear signal of what we are doing and why we are doing it and, you know, what are the results of our doing it, yeah? Otherwise, we will never get it, you know, we will never get down to eradicate the kilesas, yeah? That constantly drive us to do it, yeah? The kilesas tell us to do this, you know, and then we go ahead, yeah? Why do we do these things, yeah? So when we let pass by, you know, half a one or a full one, you know, I mean, we see, but what is going on? What is changing our moods? What is, you know, where is the anger coming up? And why is the anger coming up? Based on what, you know? I mean, we have to see this, yeah? We have to clearly, you know, just like a program, you know? I mean, we have to see it, you know? Go to anger, you know? But what came before the go-to, yeah? Huh? And the anger flares up very easily, yeah? So, what?
You say to do the daily reflection without judgment.
Yeah. Yes, it is very difficult, but you have to learn it, yeah? Because the judgment already, you know, misleads you, not seeing the things clearly as they were, yeah? So if you say something is bad, you know, I mean, that's it, yeah? I mean, there's no... You have to show the heart what it is doing, yeah? Because we don't have... really that control over the heart, yeah? So the heart does these things, and the heart has to see what is good and what is bad, but the heart judges on its own, yeah? But if, you know, if the kilesas come and judge, that was good, you know, and then it's fine, yeah? I mean, we don't go into depth, yeah? And if something is bad, you know, we want to try to get rid of it. And that is not what we, that is not about the reflection. The reflection is clearly seeing, yeah? Just like, you know, use opportunity to stay here in the woods, you know, observe ants and observe animals, you know, what they're doing, yeah? You don't judge, you know, what they're doing. You just look what they're doing, yeah? And that is how we should do the reflection, yeah? I know it's difficult because we are so judgmental, yeah. But you can do it. It is possible, yeah. It takes time, yeah. When you see judging, then say judgment and then go back to the next, yeah. Just forget about it, you know, go to the next step, yeah. And then you see judgment again, okay, judgment, you know, yeah. And then go to the next step. Yeah? It's the only hope. It's the only hope to get some clarity in our life. What are we doing? Yeah, I mean, all these little things we don't even know. Huh? Why do I crap now? Why do I crap the class? You know, what was there? You know, what made me do it? Huh? Was it discomfort or was it, you know, was it a strange thought or what was it? Yeah. When I say something, what was it? Yeah. What was the impulse, you know, to say something? Most of the time we don't really need to say anything, yeah? But, yeah, I mean, there is some fear, yeah? Most of the time, you know, we talk about, you know, because there is some fear in it, you know, we cannot deal with a situation where two people are together and not talking. That's very difficult for us, yeah? We think we need to talk, yeah? But what makes us, you know, what makes us do it, yeah? We don't realize it, we don't analyze it, yeah? And that is what we're doing. We start to analyze, you know, what we're doing and why we are doing it, yeah? By looking at it, you know, and let the heart decide, yeah? But, you know, it takes time, yeah, Adam, yeah? I mean, we are working here, you know, for years and years on end, yeah? I mean, how long have you been here? 9 months, yeah? But also do the practice once the mind is calm, yeah? I mean, first, you know, Laura, first get into get into calm, you know, when there are no more thoughts and or hardly any thoughts and hardly any memories. When you come out of samadhi, then do some, you know, not at the beginning, not very much, you know, maybe an hour of reflection about, you know, this body, yeah? We inherit this body, you know, I mean, we constantly move it around, yeah? Why? Yeah? And in the people in the world, you know, looking after this body all their life, yeah? They're working very hard, yeah? And everything has to do with the body, yeah? They're working for this body, and in the end, this body dies, you know, and so, I mean, what was the purpose? And in the next life, when they are human beings again, they do the same thing. And how often, how many lives have we done this? Yeah? I mean, we can't count them. Millions, billions of lives have we lived as human beings, yeah? And how many lives have we lived as animals? How many lives have we been, you know, in hell? How many lives have we been in a ghost realm? Yeah? And how many lives have we been, you know, in the heavenly realm? Huh? I mean, when you think, you know, I mean, what is it? To train as a Buddha, how many it takes it? 180 eons? To train in a Buddha, and what did the Lord Buddha see? 24 Buddhas before him? I mean, this is enormous time that we have lived, yeah? And we have been on planets, all kinds of planets, you know, before, huh? I mean, in this planet we probably have been quite a few times, yeah? But on other planets we have been there, yeah? I mean, and we still want to have the next life, huh? Ask yourself, yeah. It can give us, you know, it can empower us, you know, to do a little bit more practice, you know, to get a little bit deeper, you know, not to give in to the kilesas that tell us, oh, the world is so nice, yeah? When the kilesas tell us the world is so nice, then ask yourself, why did I come here in the first place? Huh? Why did we come here? Because of dukkha. Huh? Dukkha is the first noble truth, yeah? We came here, yeah, because we were dissatisfied with our life, yeah? We wanted, you know, there was something in our heart, you know, that moved us on and said, you know, this cannot be everything, yeah? I mean, you know, when we look at the normal people, yeah, when we look at the normal people, what they do, you know, I mean, they go to school, you know, after school they get a job, you know, then they get married, you know, they have children, you know, and then they die. Yeah. Yeah. I remember I was, you know, I had some vague moments, you know, in my life. When I was 24, I was looking at these, and I said, no. This cannot be life, yeah? There must be something else, yeah? But everybody, you know, around us doing the same thing, you know, I mean, it is so enticing for us, yeah, to go ahead, you know? And all this dukkha that comes with the work, you know, looking after our body, looking, yeah, then getting sick, you know, and having, you know, having a family or having a relationship, I mean, there's so much dukkha, yeah? And when we look at it clearly, you know, we see it, yeah? And hopefully, you know, this gives us some energy, you know, to go deep in our practice, to overcome this. But the kilesas are very clever. They're always trying, yeah? It was so nice out there, you know, and now that I have some rest, you know, if I go out, life would be wonderful. No, we know life will not be wonderful. Life will always be full of dukkha. Yeah? And that is what the Lord Buddha said about the human life, yeah. We have dukkha, we have some sukha, yeah. We have some happiness and we have some unhappiness. Yeah? And that's why the human life is the perfect jumping board to find the way out, yeah. I mean, if we don't have dukkha, you know, we wouldn't come here, yeah. I mean, nobody comes here, you know, because he's satisfied. I mean, because it is in the beginning, it is not easy to live this kind of life. Yeah, once we get used to it, you know, I mean, it is perfect, you know, it's fine. Yeah, you don't want any other life. Yeah, but if you don't get, you know, until you get used to it, you know, I mean, there's constantly this pulling and this pushing. Yeah? So, do you have any questions? Yeah, today, I mean, there was a lot of things going on. So, do you have any questions? Yeah? Laura? Meet you, Emily? Huh? No? No questions? So, you? Any of you? Huh? So, do you samadhi, seen samadhi panya? That is the way out. Seen? Yeah, I mean, we keep the 8 precepts when we are here, yeah? As lay people and the monks, you know, keep, keep 227, and the novice, you know, keeps 10 precepts, huh? That's it, yeah? We don't fiddle around with the precepts, because this is one of the fetters, yeah? When we think about, it's probably the second, or sometimes I mix it up, it's the third fetter. Yeah? The second fetter is the attachment to this body. Yeah, I mean, get out of the body, see that the body is not you, you know, and then it's fine, then you cut this fetter. Yeah, but it's difficult to get out of this. Yeah? Get out of this body and have a look. Ah, it looks like me. Huh? That's interesting. And then you turn around, you know, you look around. Huh? No. Yeah. And what is it that looks at the body? Huh? Hmm? That's the citta. Yeah. So, I mean, then you see clearly, you know, the body. Yeah? And the body doesn't move, you know, when the citta is not in. It's just like the car doesn't move if there's no driver. Yeah. It doesn't go forward or backward or sideward, you know, if there's no driver in there. Yeah? And that's the same with the body. If there's no driver in there, the body doesn't move. Yeah? So when you think, you know, it's the body that moves, you know, no, it is the citta that moves the body. Yeah, every kind of movement, you know, comes from the citta. Yeah, and because it is dissatisfied, there's some dukkha, there's some pain, you know, and then it starts to move, or it is restless, you know. I mean, because of restlessness, it moves constantly, moves, you know, doing this, doing that. Yeah, yeah. Then we concentrate on the Buddha, and then restlessness is gone. Yeah? Or when we are bored, you know, I mean, we concentrate on boredom and then boredom is gone. Yeah? It's so easy, you know, I mean, if we know it. Yeah? But we should find these things out for ourselves. Yeah? Oh, I'm so bored. Yeah, what is boredom? Yeah? Having no interest. Yeah? Huh? And if we are completely interested in one thing, we are gone. Yeah? I mean, Look at the people who have a hobby that they really get interested. I mean, they don't notice anything what is going on around them. Yeah, I mean, if you're completely interested in our Buddha or in our samadhi, you know, I mean, we don't notice anything around us. Yeah, and that is, you know, that is, yeah, 100% interest, 100% concentration. But most of the time we always, yeah, ah, what kind of sound is this? What kind of sound is that? Ah, what do I see? You know, I mean, what kind of feeling? You know, why is the feeling coming up? Why is this memory coming up now? Ah. That's where our interest diverts from the object, yeah? And our object, you know, in samadhi, you know, should be Buddha or should be the breath. Breath coming in, breath coming out, yeah? So, any questions, yeah?
Sometimes when I'm observing the breath, I realize that I'm not observing the actual sensations of the breath. It's more like a concept of the sensations of the breath. I wonder, and even knowing that, sometimes then it's hard to switch to the sensations.
You don't have, you know, I mean, if the mind is calm, I mean, you don't feel the sensation anymore. There's no feeling of the breath anymore. But you know the breath.
This would be before calm.
Yes, that is the people who think a lot, who conceptualize everything, you know, who make, yeah, I mean, who we can make, you know, we can live in a world that is completely made out of our mind that has nothing to do with reality. So, then, you know, I mean, then pick yourself, you know, I mean, yeah, and see, you know, this is feeling, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I sometimes do. I sort of widen the perception to actually go into other senses.
Yes, yeah, but then go, you know, and then go back to the breath, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, yes, you really feel it, yeah. But it is also, you know, it is the interest, yeah, that gets us to the knowingness of the breath. And when we get to the knowingness of the breath, we don't have to feel it anymore. We know. And It is a similar, it is not a feeling in the sense of a feeling, but it is the knowing, you know. I mean, the knowing, when I get really concentrated, I know that the breath goes through the skin, yeah. I can feel it, you know, not in the sense, you know, of our usual feeling, but I can see it coming in, yeah. Even in my toes, you know, I can see it coming in, the whole breath body, yeah. And when you look at one of the suttas, you know, that is, you know, the whole breath body, you know. But that needs a lot of good concentration, yeah. And then you know it, yeah. But it is the same thing, yeah. Knowing and thinking, you know, it seems to be one of the same thing, yeah. But it is very different, yeah. The thinking is very noisy. The knowing is very subtle. And that is the same thing with the feeling, with the bodily feelings and the internal feelings. Yeah? I don't know how to describe it. It is something like a feeling, but it is more of a knowing. Yeah? And you see it, everything. Get interested in the breath. Yeah, I mean, look, you know. I mean, look, when you get interested in the breath, yeah, what happens, you know, when the breath? When the out-breath stops, or when the out-breath is gone, yeah? There is a second, you know, before the in-breath comes, yeah? I mean, try to concentrate on that, try to catch that, yeah? Don't manipulate it. Then you gasp, yeah? Don't manipulate it, just catch it, you know? I mean, that keeps, this is the fastest way if you do breath observation, you know, that's the fastest way to get completely concentrated, because you will never be able to really catch that point, yeah? So, any more question? Yeah?
It's unconsciousness, or subconsciousness.
Yeah.
And those things also one part of citta.
Yeah.
One part of citta.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a crude simile is you get a brand new car and then you put all your stuff into this car, yeah? So, you put that things in the car. So, and what do we do with the first 18 years? We program this body. We put the memories, you know, into this, you know, into the brain, you know, we put the thoughts into this brain, we put everything into this body, But when you get out of the body, you know, there's still memory, there's still thoughts, yeah? I mean, we just put, you know, a part of this into the body, you know? So consciousness, unconsciousness, you know, I mean, it is part of the body, yeah? It's very interesting when you see, we constantly think that we are conscious. But we are not. Once you see it, that consciousness, you know, I mean, arises and ceases just in the same way as every kind of feeling, every kind of thought, every kind of thoughts and every kind of memory, yeah? That is amazing, yeah? When you see it, you know, arising and It's very short, you know, most of the time it is there. It is like when you look at the, you're probably too young, you know, to know, you know, when they had, you know, these film, you know, in the film theaters, you know, I mean, if it was not synchronized 100%, I mean, you saw a black bar, you know, sometimes appearing, yeah? But the picture is big, you know, the black bar is very small, yeah? And that is when the conscience disappears for a moment and then it comes back. And then, yeah? So actually you have only moments of consciousness, yeah? But when your sati is extremely good, you know, then you can see this unconsciousness. And you see, I mean, the citta doesn't disappear, yeah? If something is got unconscious, yeah? And then you see it coming up again. And then you see it disappearing, and then you think, what the hell is going on? What is happening? Yeah, it's quite enlightening, yeah, to see that. But you have to work on your samadhi, yeah. You have to work on your sati, yeah. Without sati, we don't see. It is, you know, it is our eyes. Sati are our eyes, you know, to see all these things happening. And for the developing sati, this daily reflection is very good, you know. I mean, it brings up, you know, I mean, it brings up to speed. Okay? Understood? So, now, if there are no other questions, Carlos, how are you doing? Tired. At the moment, quite a bit of work, huh? But you still do some practice in the evening, huh?
Yes, when I don't have too much
pain. Pain? I mean, I hope it should be over pretty soon, huh?
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh. Okay. So what are the questions?
What are the 16 opportunities to decide in any given situation?
The 16 opportunities. I mean, these 16 opportunities and the 17th opportunity of the free will comes actually from Lumputet, yeah? I mean, he was excellent in samadhi, and he talked about it. And he said the 16 moments that we have, yeah, or the 16 opportunities that we have are all dependent on karma, yeah? I mean, it is some of it is weak karma, very weak karma, yeah. It is like the 16 moments we stand at the crossroads with 16 different roads, and we decide which road we go. And most of the time we go the road that we already know, yeah, or that is most familiar to us. And that is the heaviest karma, yeah. That leads us always in the same direction. But we do have the opportunity to choose another road, yeah? And these are the 16 different kinds of karma that we have. Yeah? And the 17th is a completely new, it is completely unrelated to karma. That's what we call free will. That is not dependent on any kind of karma that we have acquired. That's why we can, you know, that's why we can choose, yeah? How can we choose, you know, to become, you know, to become monks or to become recluses, yeah? Or to become mechis, yeah? We do have to have a free will, you know, to choose a completely different path that has never been, you know, there before in our life, yeah? Okay, next.
I observed that I'm controlling my breath before and after jumping into the chitta. Should I wait for the breath until it gets subtle or difficult to observe before taking a jump into the chitta, or can I jump into it before the breath becomes subtle?
No, you don't jump into the chitta. When the breath is still there, you don't jump into the chitta. When the breath stops, then that's the moment where you jump into the chitta. But that's where also fear arises the strongest, yeah? So you have to be careful. Now, trying to jump into the chitta, you know, just makes us completely restless, yeah? I mean, observe the breath, you know, until the breath is calm, until you know, until you don't feel it anymore, and until you start knowing the breath, and then it becomes very calm, you know, and in the end it will stop, yeah? And that is the point where we jump into the chitta, into the knowingness, yeah? That's more precise. We jump into what knows that the breath has stopped. Yeah. But we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves beforehand. Yeah. Just like little children, you know, have to prepare themselves when it gets dark, that they wake up, you know, the next morning. Yeah. So, and we have to prepare ourselves, you know, whatever can disappear, let it disappear, and whatever stays on, you know, that will stay on, and this is what we grab hold onto.
The fear,
I mean, we have to deal with the fear and say, you know, I mean, if I go to sleep, I don't know if I'm going to wake up, yeah. It's the same kind of fear, you know, but normally we are used to it nowadays, but a little child might have this fear, yeah. That it doesn't wake up the next morning, or some people might have it, yeah. So we have to deal with the fear, you know. Just like I said, you know, before, whatever can disappear, let it disappear, and that what stays on, that's what we latch on to.
Recently, when I just entered Upacara Samadhi while meditating at the edge of the woods, I heard the sound of flight. I tried to figure this out the sound. I notice the jitta saying, I know it, that's the flight sound before my mind saying it. My question is, does the jitta know before the mind does? Is it the jitta that is all-knowing with what is happening in the present, past, and future?
Yeah, he answered the question. Yes, the jitta is all-knowing. Yeah, it knows before, it knows even before we start a thought. Yeah. It knows that there's an intention to think. Eh? Even the thought has not arisen yet. And if we look, you know, the citta knows, you know, what is coming next. It's very interesting. Yeah? When we listen to talks, yeah, especially when the talks are coming from the heart, yeah? When we listen to a talk of Akuba Achan, we know exactly the next word. What is coming, you know, he hasn't even uttered it. We know it already, yeah. But we didn't hear it, yeah? It happened to me, I mean, where was it? In England, I was, yeah? I remember my sati was quite good, so I mean, I could listen to it. Yeah? So one of the teachers, you know, made a joke, you know, and I already laughed before it came out because I thought it was so funny. And then the teacher wanted to know, how do you know what I'm going to say? Yeah. So we can know, you know, just, you know, I mean, a few seconds before, yeah, because the citta knows the intention of other people, yeah, that is the language, yeah, that is the universal language, also between animals, you know, any kind of being in all these 31 realms, you know, I mean, has the same language. It's a language of intention. Huh? I mean, if we are at that level, you know, we can understand, yeah, or we know. Yeah. So that is normal. But don't be interested in what this flight of sound is, yeah? even when the citta, you know, the knowing is there, yeah? But don't go into this knowingness, you know, I mean, just go on and observe the breath. That is the best thing you can do. Otherwise you get confused, yeah? Yes, we do know before anything happens, yeah? I tried it out very often, you know, I mean, just a few moments, yeah? We know it, yeah? But we do have to have extremely good sati, you know, to be able to do that, yeah? So, okay? Then, today, for today it is enough, huh? Yeah. Quite tired.